You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, kicking off hour two on this Monday. No Flames hockey today. They'll kick off a three-game road trip Tuesday in San Jose. Stops in LA and Anaheim before coming back home to face the Coyotes on Sunday. But we still had lots of Flames chat in hour one. Heard from head coach Ryan Huska and Dustin Wolf after practice, as well as checked in with the color voice of the Calgary Flames and former NHLer Kelly Rudy for his thoughts on the group. So if you missed any of that in hour one, check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite pod catcher. We're in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. Shoot us a text at 960-960. Would love to hear from you on this Monday. Cam and Azam rocking it as my outstanding producers on this Monday edition of Sportsnet Today. So no Flames hockey, but plenty to talk about around the NHL. Two big games on the schedule tonight. And take a look around the league and some of the biggest storylines. Very happy to kick off hour two going down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Welcome to our pal Scott Laughlin from Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Scott, as always, thanks for the time, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Logan. I'm feeling pretty good. I survived the solar eclipse of 2024, so I'm good to go today.
Good to hear, my man. I was worried for a second there. I said to my producer, they're calling early. Just make sure. You never know. It's a weird day. Weird things can happen, Scott.
Absolutely.
But good to hear that you're doing well, pal. We got some fun things to talk about. I think last time we talked, we were sitting here going, Philly is such a great story, and the East is kind of feeling like it's settling down, and now here we are. Last couple of weeks of the regular season, and it's anybody's guess who's going to get into that last spot in the East.
It really is. I mean, third in the Metro, the second wild card in the Eastern Conference. You're right, Logan, it's up for grabs right now. I find it to be fascinating. I don't think it's necessarily been anybody jumping up and seizing the opportunity. We haven't had anybody right now that has come close to replicating what the Florida Panthers do, just kicking down the door and making a run to the Stanley Cup final. Ultimately, as we all know, Pittsburgh maybe is the closest thing to that. They put themselves into a position here to do something special. We'll have to wait and see if they can close the deal. But the fact that that second wild card spot in the Eastern Conference has had five different teams in that position in the past 5 days, I don't know when I can remember that happening, if ever, in the history of the league. So if nothing else, it's fascinating just because of how competitive it is. And at some point here, whether it's the Islanders or whether it's the Flyers or the Wings or the Penguins or the Capitals, somebody's going to jump up and ultimately grab that last spot or two.
You mentioned Pittsburgh and the fact they're on a four-game winning streak and have kind of put themselves most firmly in that conversation. But is there a team that you look at out of the group of say, New York, Pittsburgh, Washington, and the Flyers that kind of, I guess, Detroit's in that mix as well? Is there a team that stands out to you that's got a best chance in your mind down these last seven or eight games, Scott?
Well, I think, Logan, the team that probably any playoff participant in the East doesn't want to see in is Pittsburgh. Just because of the pedigree, the Stanley Cup pedigree, the I've been there and done that before sort of pedigree that the Pittsburgh Penguins could bring to the table. So the fact that Pittsburgh right now is playing some great hockey, the fact that Nedeljkovic has really found, I think, his form again in goal for Pittsburgh makes them a dangerous out. When you talk about Crosby playing as well as he has from start to finish, Malkin's playing so supremely well now that his parents are over from Russia. I don't think he ever wants them to go back to Russia. He wants to keep them here so he can keep scoring goals and producing and bringing them to tears, of course, tears of joy in watching their son play. And, of course, Letang and Carlson and Michael Bunting had the big goal, of course, to rescue victory from the jaws of potential defeat going back to Saturday afternoon. Too. So I think the one team in the East, I think, that other Eastern playoff teams are fearing the most would be Pittsburgh just because of the pedigree. I think the Islanders have some question marks in terms of how much offense ultimately they're going to have. I think Detroit would be the type of team that if they get in for the first time in 7 or 8 years, that might be the type of team that's just almost happy to be there. That would be, you know, their ultimate to get to the postseason. Washington's getting longer in the tooth, certainly have had some ups and downs in the goaltending position. And Philadelphia right now, this just might be a little bit too soon for that young group to take this next step. So I think out of all the teams right now vying for either third in the Metro, in the case of the Pittsburgh Penguins, the New York Islanders, the Capitals, the Flyers, et cetera, or the second wild card in the Eastern Conference, I think the Penguins, for the reasons I mentioned, might be the most dangerous foe for any potential playoff team in the East.
If you're a team like New York or Boston, are you licking your lips at the chance of getting one of those teams in that second wild card spot? Even if it is Pittsburgh, knowing the kind of up and down season they have, like, are you sitting there going, if you're the Rangers right now, they're the ones leading it to get that second wild card team. Are you like, give me any of these teams. I feel perfectly fine taking on just about anybody.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Rangers have just tied a franchise record with their 53rd victory of the season, and they're obviously going to set a new mark here in the last couple of games that they've got, too. And, you know, they put some distance between themselves and a really good Carolina team who, by the way, have played very well the past couple of weeks to push the Rangers. The Rangers are just that much better right now, and I think the Rangers have all pieces in place here to make a deep run as well. So to answer your question, Logan, yeah, I think the Rangers would be licking their chops. I think Pittsburgh would be the most dangerous of those teams trying to get in, but even then, certainly the Rangers against Pittsburgh, the Rangers pretty much against anybody in an opening round, the Blue Shirts are going to be heavy favorites.
And you mentioned Carolina there, and I think it's fair to bring them up because Freddie Anderson came back here. He's been outstanding since coming back from injury. I'm curious, if you're the Carolina Hurricanes, knowing how good he's been and knowing that you've kind of had a revolving door at goaltender, which feels like a long conversation in Carolina, Scott, do you go to Freddie Anderson night one, you think, if his kind of play continues into the first round of the playoffs, or do you go to somebody with more experience this season?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's a pleasant problem to have for Rod Brind'Amour, right? Because I think he could easily go to Freddie Anderson, Logan, for the reasons you mentioned. He's got two shutouts in his last three starts. He's been lights out good since coming back after missing 50 games due to that blood clot. Then you've got young Kochetkov, who's actually played a lot more than they could have anticipated this season. He could be a viable option, too, and he's done his job and more. So do you go with the younger kid? Do you go with the established veteran who's on a beam right now? And let's not forget, too, Freddie Anderson, especially when he's here in Toronto with the Toronto Maple Leafs, he had some playoff demons to exercise. And if there's one thing that Freddie Anderson still has to prove, even this late into his career, it's that he can take a team on a run. Now, does he deserve that game one start for the Carolina Hurricanes, likely in a 2-3 matchup with whoever finishes third in the Metro, the Islanders, the Capitals, the Penguins, whatever the case may be, the Flyers? That remains to be seen. It really is, to me, a coin flip. I think if I had to choose today, Logan, I'd probably go to Freddie Anderson just because he's playing so well at this point here. He looks like he's completely healthy once again. And like I said, I think he's still in the back of his mind feeling like he's got a lot to prove. He's playing for his future. He's playing for a contract, and he's playing to quiet those critics out there that are saying he can't get it done at postseason time.
Sticking in the East, and this is a conversation we've had with some of our friends in our sister station out in Toronto. Maybe not as relevant now because the Bruins have gone on this four-game winning streak and have opened up some space between them and the Florida Panthers. But if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, is there a good option for you in round one, Scott, between the Panthers and the Bruins? Or are you just going to have to accept the fact you're going to have to get past one of your playoff demons if you want to go on a long run this season?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I mean, clearly, if they go into a series at Florida, if they go into a series at Boston, they're going to go in as underdogs for sure. That being said, the Leafs are a talented bunch, as we know, but we've been saying this for years and years and years. Hey, they finally broke through to win a playoff round for the first time since 2004. That's all well and good. Well, now make it multiple rounds and now take it just a step further. That remains to be seen whether or not this group can do it. I think there still are, to a certain degree, some question marks on the back end. I think Samsonov has been a great story in bouncing back the way he has, and he certainly would start the playoffs at the very least for the Toronto Maple Leafs, given how well he's played. And I think the last handful of games here, the last six games, as a matter of fact, have given Sheldon Keefe a little bit of an opportunity here to experiment. And we saw that experiment kind of start on Saturday night with that game against the Montreal Canadiens, where they had Matthews, Marner, and Nylander on three different lines, and they spread the scoring out. Now, is that going to hold true to be the case in the final six games? Is Matthews, Marner, probably Marner will play in all of them because he missed the games that he did, but is Matthews going to play in every game? Is Nylander going to play in every game? What will Matthews' pursuit of 70 mean to his availability down the stretch? I mean, Sheldon Keefe in previous years has sat his stars for a game or two towards the end. But again, the question is going to be begged, certainly, if Austin Matthews is at 68 or 69 and has got a chance to get to 70 for his first time in his career. It doesn't happen all the time. You know, do you put him out there and the risk that he might get injured if essentially you've got nothing to play for, or do you just watch him, of course, from the press box and get him to watch the game from above? So I think there are certain question marks for this team. The question marks will continue right through game 83 and onwards as to how long this is going to last, but yeah, they're going to go in as underdogs against that team that beat them last year in the Florida Panthers, and a team that they've certainly grown to hate over the last number of years, the last number of decades in the Boston Bruins.
When we look at the West, the playoff picture a little bit more solidified, with all due respect to St. Louis, who's 5 points back of Vegas with two games more played than the Golden Knights. And tonight, a really interesting one. It could be a first-round matchup, the Golden Knights and the Vancouver Canucks, Scott. And Tomas Hertl will make his Golden Knights debut. Is that a bit of a trouble spot if you're a top team in the West, finishing either in the Pacific or the Central, that your prize might be the Vegas Golden Knights in round one?
Oh, there's no question about that, Logan. I mean, right now, if the playoffs started, and as you say, things could change. It could be Vegas and Vancouver. But right now, if the playoffs started tonight, Dallas would host Vegas. Like, as well as Dallas has played, having won 9 of their past 10, clicking on all cylinders, 7 straight wins for their goalie, Jake Ottinger. They've got the young guys producing, and Johnston certainly breaking out this season. Stankoven's made his mark as well. And then you've got Ben and Sagan and Pavelski and all the veteran guys like Roope Hintz that have been there and done that to a certain extent. And you get the defending champions who, as you say, are just about ready to add an all-star forward to their lineup at Tomas Hertl. So, yeah, that's not really much of a reward if you're the top team in the Western Conference like Dallas is right now. Or, again, if Nashville and Vegas are swapping spots here in the last number of games, keeping in mind the defending cup champions have a pair of games in hand on the Predators. So that could be a flip-flop, which leads us to what you're talking about there. And it could be Vancouver in Vegas before it's all said and done. And if that's the case, boy, even with the question marks that Vegas has got between the pipes, I think most people, given the situation, would pick the defending champions in a best-of-seven series with Vancouver. And that's namely due to the fact that Thatcher Demko is out. And if he can't walk through that door in time to start for the playoffs, Vancouver could have a good season, but not necessarily a long postseason, because we've seen Casey DeSmith has struggled. They've even given young Shelovs an opportunity to step in there a little bit, just hoping to have some depth between the position, just in case the all-world goaltender Demko can't answer the bell. I just think if he can't answer the bell, Vancouver could be out very, very quickly.
Yeah, that's the situation they're monitoring for sure. And even here in Calgary, having that first-round pick of the Canucks after that Lindholm trade, Flames fans very invested in what happens there as well. You mentioned that other wildcard spot belongs to the Nashville Predators right now. And Scott, I'm very curious how you view a team like the Nashville Predators. Is this a team that went on a late season run and earned a playoff spot, or are they a legit threat when it comes to a very deep Western Conference?
Well, I mean, Nashville's MO from the get-go, Logan, as we know from the moment they were born into the NHL, has been strong goaltending and strong team defense. And I think that when you play that way and you play that style, I think it can serve you well. There's absolutely no doubt about that. When you've got a guy like Josi and you can throw in some experience like a McDonough and like a Shen on the back end, I think that you're strong. UC Saros, as we've noted time and time again, not the biggest goaltender. In fact, maybe the shortest, smallest goaltender in the league right now. I know Dustin Wolf certainly in that conversation, Devin Levi with the Buffalo Sabres as well. But Saros is one of the top goalies in the league. He's proven that of late. He proved it on that 16-0-2 run that they had. And I think that anytime you've got a goalie like him and you're strong on the back end, I think that that really promotes potential success at playoff time. I think, you know, Forsberg's been Forsberg, and that's been fun to watch. Ryan O'Reilly has been a great pickup for them in the contract that they gave to him. He's kind of lived up to that and more. I think you've seen the guys like Evangelista step up, certainly, as he has had this season too. I think you get the younger guys in back of some of the veteran guys that usually bring it, and I think that all adds up to a dangerous opponent. So we'll see where they can get to here. They had a little bit of a fall, as we know, after the 16-0-2 franchise best run that they had, but the last couple of games, especially the last victory over New Jersey, looked more like the Predators that we'd come to see over the previous 6 weeks.
Taking a look around the NHL with our pal Scott Laughlin from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Just two games on the NHL schedule tonight. It's the Leafs hosting the Penguins at 5, and then at 8 o'clock, a Pacific Division matchup between the Golden Knights and the Canucks. Sure seems like the Avalanche dodged a bullet with Mikko Rantanen in concussion protocol and the fact that he's not going to be out long-term, it sounds like, from head coach Jared Bednar. How big of a relief is that for Colorado in the midst of the great season they're having, Scotty?
Well, it's a huge relief, and I said that on the show today, Logan. I mean, without Rantanen, without a healthy Rantanen, could you see Colorado going on to win the Stanley Cup? Probably not. When you've got him, of course, playing, and you've got McKinnon clicking on all cylinders like he is right now, clearly it's a very dangerous team. So, yeah, I'm not even worried about the last couple of games here. It looks like they're going to be into that two slot, and they're going to host the Winnipeg Jets in what should be a dynamite series, probably going the distance, I would think. I'm going to pick that one in seven for somebody. But, yeah, I mean, any time you've got a guy who's a consummate 40-goal man that can control play because of how he skates and how big he is, how he can dominate the puck, that's huge. He got Cronwall, didn't he?
Yes.
By Matthias Ekholm going back to the weekend, right? So that was an unsuspecting hit, and it was the second time that Ekholm had got him in that game, too. So, again, just a huge relief. I would take their time with him to get him back. The most important thing is to certainly have him come game number 83. If they've got him, they've got a great chance to make a run, even if they have to match up with a really great team in the Winnipeg Jets. Without Rantanen, I wouldn't like their opportunities at all.
How much fun is it to watch his teammate Nathan MacKinnon in the midst of this point battle down the stretch with the likeness of Nikita Kucherov and Connor McDavid? It feels like the last couple of years, Scott, we've had, you know, a player or two here that takes a step ahead of everybody, but these three guys showing off greatness at another level this season.
Yeah, it really is amazing to watch them. And, you know, I don't know that there's anybody in the league right now that gets from 0 to 60 faster than Nathan MacKinnon, right? And that might include Connor McDavid, who probably is the fastest guy I've ever seen on skates. But McKinnon's right up there, too. Owen Tippett, I think aside from having that great release with the Philadelphia Flyers, I think has proven this season, too, that with some of the shifts that he's had out the ice, too, he can really pick him up and put him down, too. So he's just fun to watch. I mean, he just dominates the game with his speed. He's like a bull out there when he's got the puck on his stick. You know, he's not 6'3", but, boy, is he sturdy on his skates. He's got a strong lower body, obviously. The right-handed version of Sidney Crosby, perhaps, too, right? His off-season training partner, as we know. So I think he's just fun to watch. I don't know who's going to win the scoring race here. It's like Kucherov will throw up a couple of points, especially with that power play prowess that they've got going on with Tampa, and then MacKinnon comes back with a multi-point performance, and then McDavid will remind us that he's still in the picture as well. I just don't know. I mean, Kucherov 136 to 133 to 130. Maybe there's just not enough time here for McDavid to, of course, make up that ground, because you've got to expect that 86 from Tampa and 29 from Colorado are going to do their things as well. So we'll have to wait and see. That being said, you know, who's to say McDavid doesn't go out in the next game and throw up a five-point night, and all of a sudden we're talking about things entirely differently. So it's been fun to watch. There's no question about it. These offensive players these days are just lights out good in the National Hockey League.
Being just south of Connor McDavid for his entire career here, Scott, I can tell you, it's not out of the realm of possibility that man all of a sudden just has one or two of those nights down the stretch, and you go, yeah, that's 97 for you, and all of a sudden he's right there again. Are those three the names that you think of when it comes to the Hart Trophy race this season as well, or is there somebody else that creeps into that conversation?
Well, I think that those are the three leading candidates. I think people would probably look at Austin Matthews. We've been talking about it too, right? If Austin gets to 70, like, does that give him the edge? Because it's been 30-some-odd years since somebody last got to 70. So, I mean, that might put him in the mix. But as we know, I mean, he's a goal scorer, but doesn't have the same amount of points as the other guys, right? So I think that's a name to consider. I think the top three scorers right now ultimately will be the guys. Austin Matthews with an outside shot again if he gets to 70. Maybe it's a different conversation. I know people lately have offered up Roman Josi, who I think right now is probably neck and neck with Quinn Hughes to win the Norris Trophy, with Makar certainly in the mix as well. But I think that those are the leading candidates. As far as the Vezina Trophy is concerned, I think most people are leaning towards Connor Hellebuyck at this point, based upon how much he's played, how well he's played, all the victories he's got. And I think he'll probably win the Vezina. So, I think, look, we've known for the longest time who was going to win the Rocket Richard Trophy. That was put to rest a long, long time ago. The Art Ross is still up for grabs. The Norris, I think, is going to go to Josi. And like I said, Connor Hellebuyck probably walks away with the Vezina Trophy when it's all said and done.
Is the Calder still up for grabs, or is that Connor Bedard's to
lose? No. Yeah. I think that's Connor Bedard's to lose. I know Brock Faber in the Wild got the better of him last night, but I'm thinking, no, I think that even missing all that time, right, Connor Bedard being out for, what, five-plus weeks, even with him missing all that time, he still came back and still had the lead. And, you know, we cannot underestimate at all just exactly what Brock Faber has done. Like in this shutout victory that they had over Chicago, he played over 24 minutes. Yeah. And when they had some injuries earlier this season, too, there was a lot heaped onto the plate of the young rookie defenseman from the Minnesota Wild. So you can't underestimate a rookie guy stepping in there on the back end and, you know, playing 24, 25, 26 minutes per night when they really needed him. So I think he's a nominee at the very least. I think Luke Hughes, too, you know, 45 points this season with the Devils, has come in as advertised, and he played about 24 minutes in that game against the Predators as well. So I think it's a good rookie class, but ultimately, I think the guy that's going to win the Calder Trophy is the guy we thought all along, and that's Connor Bedard.
Last one for you, Scott, before I let you go. The Arizona Coyotes and their pursuit of a new home, they're awfully confident that this is the final stage. They're going to win this land auction, and all will be good. If it doesn't happen, is this the end? Are we finally done talking about the Coyotes in Arizona? What have you made of that whole situation?
Yeah, like I hope it gets put to rest just for the people out there that are involved in the organization too, right? And, you know, we've got media friends that work and cover the team and broadcast and covering the team and so on and so forth. And year after year after year after year, they've gone in with all these question marks surrounding the franchise and whether or not they can continue to call Arizona home. So I think one way or the other, the rubber hits the road here. I think the National Hockey League too, and we heard this from Commissioner Bettman last year too, right? You almost got the sense that, hey, look, we've tried. We're going to try one more time. If it doesn't work out, I think even Gary Bettman knows that it's time to look at other alternatives. And I saw on Twitter today, Kevin Weeks had tweeted out that he was told by numerous sources that Tillman Fertitta and Houston were meeting with the NHL today, and potentially somebody from Atlanta as well, as a couple of groups, of course, have been involved in potentially bringing back hockey to Atlanta again. Ideally, as an expansion team coming back for a third go-around, we've heard Anson Carter's name come up with regards to an ownership group potentially with Atlanta, Georgia as well. We know about Salt Lake City. And how about Brian Smith, the guy who wants to bring it into Utah, throwing up that tweet earlier saying, what should we name the team should we get the Coyotes into Utah? So that certainly was throwing down the gauntlet, too. So business is picking up in New York with these reported meetings that are going on, and certainly Utah saying, hey, don't forget about us. We're serious. We want a team here, whether it's the Coyotes or some expansion franchise. We want hockey to ultimately get here. I think the best case scenario is that Arizona wins the land auction. They can put shovels in the ground. We can put this to rest and say, hey, look, for the next 30 years, the Coyotes are going to be out there in the desert. Otherwise, as you suggest too, Logan, I think all bets are off. It's time to pick up and move.
Scott, always appreciate the time. Love checking in with you when we get the opportunity, pal. Enjoy the hockey tonight. I know we'll check in with you as we get closer to the postseason here, man.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks for having me as always, Logan.
Thank you very much. Scott Laughlin joining us from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. You can check him out on Twitter at LaughlinSXM. Love checking in with Scotty, going around the NHL, some of the biggest storylines in the league. And yes, two games on the NHL schedule on this Monday. It's two big games. You can catch them on Sportsnet 1. The Pittsburgh Penguins in Toronto get set to take on the Leafs. The Penguins have won four in a row and are trying to find their way into the Eastern Conference playoff race. And the Vegas Golden Knights will have Tomas Hertl in their lineup for the first time since acquiring him at the NHL's trade deadline. They are in Vancouver to take on the Canucks. Arturs Silvos gets the start in goal for Vancouver, who are 5-5 in their last 10. And they're really hoping to get a healthy Thatcher Demko back in time to get set for an important playoff. They are just a few points ahead now of the Edmonton Oilers for first spot in the Pacific Division. Take a break, come back on the other side, closing out hour two with a very cool story. A Calgarian has reached exceptional status in the WHL. We'll tell you who that is coming up next with our pal Eric Francis from Sportsnet when Sportsnet Today returns here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. All right, hour two rolling on. Cool story of the WHL on this Monday. Well, most teams like the Swift Current Broncos and the WHL focused on round two of the playoffs. The league holding a press conference in Calgary earlier today to introduce the next exceptional status player into the WHL, and he's a Calgary kid with Flames ties and now a very promising future ahead for Landon DuPont, a name you've probably heard before and a name you're going to get used to hearing. It's a name that our own Eric Francis from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca has had on his radar for a while, and he dropped the story last week about Landon and his pursuit of exceptional status and franchise. Joins us down the Atlas Beach and Sports Bar guest hotline right now to talk about today's announcement. Franchise, appreciate the time, man. How you doing?
I'm well, my man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Very cool announcement in the city today for Landon DuPont, eh?
Listen, this is this flies under the radar because, well, he's 14. So, but, you know, the reality is this young man's life just changed dramatically today. And that's just such a beautiful story. You're right. You know, at a time when kind of the Flames season's kind of wrapping up and it's borderline depressing for Flames fans to see that. But, you know, we're playing out the string here. But this is a real feel-good story and a kid that this city will be very, very proud of. I can tell you that, you know, Calgarians, Flames fans or not, I think everyone's kind of proud. Cale Makar, for example, is just such a great player. I think a great ambassador, just a real polite, nice kid who represents our city so well. Landon DuPont will fall into that same category, and I dare say is the same type of player, same type of, dramatic impact player that Cale Makar is, because he is a defenseman. And, real happy to see his dad and his family there, very proud. And, it's a historic day. Only 9 times this has happened, and that's pretty cool.
You talked about this last week when you first had this news, and for those of you who don't know, Eric, maybe just explain to the listeners a bit about the process that goes in for a young man to become exceptional status in the CHL.
Yeah, it's kind of a mysterious process. And good question. I'll unveil it. You know, hockey, you apply for exceptional status. And talking to people at Hockey Canada today, very few people apply. I think that's very interesting. You know, you always hear about the overzealous parents, hockey parents, who think their son is the next great one. But I'm happy to report that very, very few people over the years have ever applied for exceptional status. This was completely warranted, and they did that kind of just before Christmas. Hockey Canada then kind of takes over. They put a 3-person board together. One's a board member, one's a kind of a legal representative, and the 3 of them, and their names are not important. The important thing is that they get it right, and historically they have gotten it right. And not only do you have to be an exceptional player, and that's pretty easy to determine, I think, certainly in this case it was. The question is, does the kid have the maturity level, the integrity, and the support system to be mature enough to handle making the next step from he's a 14-year-old kid right now. And what this whole exceptional player status does is it gives a kid a chance to play in the Western Hockey League or, you know, the Ontario Hockey League or QMJHL at age 15, which is not allowed right now. So you need this status to play as a 15-year-old. And at the end of the day, he's got to be mature, got to be a great player, it's got to be a good representative, and they've got to have the belief that he can, withstand the attention and the pressure that comes with this. And, you know, I asked the kid today, have you been practicing your autograph? Because, you know, at 14, he hasn't really had to. But guess what? Starting today, he's going to be signing stuff for the rest, for the many, many years ahead. So he did admit to me that in math class, he does allow his mind to wander. And he has been practicing his autograph. So that's good news. That's really good news.
You mentioned that process and the support staff around exceptional status players. And pretty cool that his dad, a Calgary native, a former member of the Calgary Flames, and a guy that spent 4 years in the WHL himself, Eric, Mickey DuPont is part of that support staff for him, and I imagine a pretty proud parent today and a guy that's probably helped Landon a lot along the way.
Oh, big time. You know, him and his brother. Listen, Landon's brother is a heck of a player, too, and plays in the AJHL, and they laugh saying sometimes it sucked having our dad be such a great player himself because, man, he woke us up early on a lot of mornings and explained to us that this is the kind of hard work that it's going to take if you really want to excel in this sport. So listen, Mickey, I covered Mickey when he was drafted by the Calgary Flames. He was a former Canadian Hockey League defenseman of the year. So he was a great Western Hockey League player, Kamloops, and was undersized at a time when being an undersized defenseman wasn't going to work out for him. So he bounced around a little bit in the NHL, but went overseas and was a stud, like a star overseas in Germany and Switzerland for a lot of years. Had a really good, successful career. Came back to Calgary in 2019 with these two young men who were pretty talented dual players in their own right. So, yeah, it's nice to have a dad who knows the business and can mentor you in so many different ways.
And you mentioned the list of names that have gone through this. And obviously, Eric, most people, at least in this neck of the woods, will know mostly of Connor Bedard as the most recent exceptional player to roll through and to have that sort of success. And it's a long list of successful players, McDavid, Tavares, Ekblad. Like, there's just not many guys that don't go on to big success with this status.
Yeah, and you know, Scott Salmon from Hockey Canada said today, we don't always get it right on the hockey side in terms of, like, there are guys on that list that haven't, you know, excelled at the NHL level or been stars in any way. But, you know, there are more often the case they get it right. And what I think is so important that he stressed is, you know, we may not get it right on the hockey side, but we got to get it right on the maturity side and the integrity side. And again, they use the help, you know, going back to your question about how they vet these kids. There's a psychologist involved and there's an essay involved, and they're like, it's not just one phone call or one board meeting. It's a process, and they go inside and out, talk to his former coaches, teachers, everyone. And at the end of the day, it was unanimous. This kid's ready to take this sort of job. And I think another thing that's important is part of the determination is, if we don't give this kid exceptional status, are we being detrimental in terms of his continued ability to ascend and develop? And I think that's an important distinction too, because if you don't allow this kid to take that next step, then you're stunting his development. And that's not fair to the kid either. So everybody wins here with the way they went about this.
And a great feather in the cap for a great Calgary program in the Edge School, hey?
Totally. And he was full of praise for the way they handled him this year. You work hard in school during the day. You also have practices. You have off-ice workouts. A lot of people have a lot of good things to say about the Edge program, and that was an important part of his development today. And, you know, it's funny, he talked about how today he woke up and he had a video message from Connor Bedard. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, this kid has just lived a very normal lifestyle. He's a grade 9 student, right? We forget how young they are.
Yeah.
And he said he blacked out when he saw this message. Connor Bedard being the only guy ever who's been given exceptional player status in the Western Hockey League. This is only the second kid ever who's been given that in the Western League, which is, by the way, I'll remind everyone, the best development league in the world, has been for a long time and will continue to be. And it's another reason why this kid decided to take this step. And he'll go to Everett. They won the draft lottery. They're going to pick him first overall. There's no question he's going to go over there. And the family's gone over there and toured the club just last night. They were there. And they're really comfortable with the situation he'll have there. And, you know, is he going to live with teammates? Is his mom going to go move out there and help him a little bit? All that's to be determined, because at the end of the day, he's still a 14-year-old. But I love his mom's answer, Aaron, when she was asked about this. And she said, our number one focus when we look at this whole situation is that he's having fun and that he continues to be a kid. And boy, I think that was a great reminder in this whole thing.
Yeah, it's not to be understated, because we remember even going back to last year franchise when the Regina Pats came through town. There's a sold-out building in Calgary with people looking to get a view of Connor Bedard, and that can change in a second for these young men. You mentioned even how today, you know, will probably change things going forward for Landon. This is a big moment in his life.
Absolutely, and a well-deserved one. Listen, I went and watched him play, I think every game, actually, during the Circle K tournament this year, and blown away. I mean, this kid, the best way it was put, his coach had said, like, he controls the game. Like, it's very rare you could say that about any player, let alone a defenseman. And he basically controls the pace of the game. Every team that he played against this year, they took runs at him. Listen, at that Circle K tournament, the American teams were allowed to bring 18-year-olds. So he was a 14-year-old who only played his first year of contact last season. And now he's playing with these big 18-year-olds from all over North America. They're taking runs at him with regularity because they know he's their best player. They're trying to disrupt him or knock him out of the game. And he's taking it, and he's dishing it right back out. So he's not a big kid. He's 5'11", 170, 175 pounds. He'll get bigger. I'm not sure how, you know, what size he'll end up at, but he's been able to overcome that so far. It's not a problem for him.
You mentioned we've talked about Bedard in this conversation and that video message to him, and what a great beginning for Dan Neer as his term as commissioner of the WHL begins to have another great player into the system. And you mentioned for the WHL franchise, just the second exceptional status player they've had. We're used to seeing them out east, but great to have another one out west here.
Absolutely. You know, and as you mentioned earlier, after Connor Bedard came back from the World Juniors this year with basically every record that there could be for the Canadian team, he sold out every building he played in from that point on till the end of the season. It wasn't that way beforehand, obviously, but he was still attracting large crowds. But, you know, this could be a real boost for the Western Hockey League in so many different cities. Everett, of course, number first and foremost. They've got like an 8,500-seat stadium, which my guess is will now be sold out from now on till DuPont moves on. But it is a great thing for the Western Hockey League. And, you know, not just like everywhere he goes, there's going to be a little bit more interest than there otherwise would be. And I remember that was the case when Cale Makar was playing in the AJHL and he'd come through Calgary. And there was a real buzz about, you know, what he was going to be able to move on to do later in his life. And same sort of thing. So, yeah. And I was really impressed by the WHL commissioner. You know, I don't know him very well. I'm getting to know him. And I thought he was so brilliantly well-spoken today and really good at handling all the questions. And I think the Western Hockey League is in good hands with Dan.
What did you hear from Landon himself? You mentioned that cool, obviously, video message from Connor Bedard. But what was going through the young man's mind on a day like this in front of all the media in Calgary?
You know, he's a humble kid. He's a, you know, soft-spoken kid. I think he said all the right things. I mean, listen, they rehearsed this and worked on it and, you know, they crafted the message. But I don't think he needed all that schooling. I think he would have just understood that. I think the biggest thing he said is, you know, like, I'm humbled. I'm honored. But at the end of the day, I've got a lot of work ahead of me. This is just the first step in a number of steps to help get me to where I hope to go one day. So a lot of hard work ahead and, you know, well-earned to get to this point. But kind of like how an NHL player gets drafted and typically what they say is, look, this is just another step. This doesn't get me into the NHL. It just gets me a little bit closer, perhaps. Same thing for Landon. This gives him a ticket into the best development league in the world. It's now up to him to continue the hard work and great play and maturity to help him continue to grow his game and elevate so that he's not just a participant in the Western Hockey League moving forward. He ends up being a star player in time. I don't think that's going to happen right away, but that's a great league for him to kind of evolve and become a star, because I have no doubt in my mind he will be a star in the Western Hockey League. And by the way, those of you who are thinking about taking him in your keeper leagues, 2027, 2027 is his draft year. So don't get too far ahead of yourself, people. Maybe focus on some other players from now till then.
A couple years to go before the young man gets there. Eric Francis with us. Eric Francis from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca, of course. And, of course, the Eric Francis Hour here on Sportsnet 960 every Friday. Before I let you go, franchise, your latest at Sportsnet.ca. Lots of positives for the Flames on Saturday, despite that loss to the Oilers, hey?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I hate, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm working for the team or anything, but I think at the end of the day, most people realize now, look, they've lost 8 of their last 9, and that's a good thing, right? I mean, I'm not on Team Tank. I'm not one of those guys who thinks any organization should ever focus on tanking. But if you can go out and play a damn good game against one of the better teams in the league, especially in your provincial rivalry, and be arguably the better team, as Jonathan Huberdeau said, and still come out with the loss, it's the perfect scenario. It really is. And on top of that, I thought Connor Azeri, you know, being somewhat effective at center is a very huge development. Sharon Govich getting his 30th is a milestone that's worth noting. And the fact that they lost, and And the fact that that loss really kind of really comfortably puts them in with the 8th worst record in the National Hockey League as they go into the, you know, as we get closer to the draft lottery, you know, you string together a bunch more losses here, you might even finish 5th or 6th worst. It's a strange conversation, strange way of looking at it. But the point is, you know, I think Seattle's 3 or 4 points up on Calgary. So that's a good thing that the Flames probably won't pass them. And, you know, it looks like the Flames will be looking at a top 10 pick this year.
Eric, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks for hopping on. Great job covering this Landon Dupont story. Looking forward to following him as his WHL career begins in 2024. Thanks again, pal.
Thanks, Logan. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about a young man who I'm actually really excited about. And I'm really proud of, I think Calgary should be really proud of this guy. He's a Calgarian. Great family, great dad, great mom, brother. Be proud, Calgary, as you watch this kid develop.
Take care, franchise. We'll see you soon, hey?
Cheers, buddy.
Take care. Eric Francis joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Talk about the big story out of the WHL in Calgary today. Yes, Landon Dupont granted exceptional status, just the 2nd player in WHL history behind Connor Bedard to be granted exceptional status, the 1st defenseman to be granted exceptional status in the WHL, 3rd in CHL history, the other 2, Aaron Ekblad and Sean Day. So even more uncommon for a defenseman to get exceptional status. And you can check out Eric on Twitter, of course, at Eric Francis. Sportsnet.ca has got lots up on Landon today and that press conference introducing him to the WHL. And yes, can you imagine the Everett Silvertips very likely to make Landon the number 1 overall selection in the upcoming WHL draft. They're currently in the midst of their postseason right now with round 2 matchups getting underway shortly this week. Before we head out for the day, wanted to check in one more time from the Flames locker room on this Monday. Defenseman Ilya Solovyov recalled on an emergency basis from the Calgary Wranglers with Oliver Shillington missing practice with an upper body injury. A chance for him to make an impression on Flames brass late in the season. He was paired up with Braden Pahal at practice. Let's check in with Ilya following practice Monday at the Dome.
How does it feel to be back with the Flames?
I feel awesome. Try to enjoy the moment. That's it.
Okay.
What are some things you were told to work on while you were back in the AHL that you hope to apply when you're back here?
Oh, there's just was a more about the mental work. You know, like try to stay with the pressure and do my job as best as I can, and that's it. Yeah, and probably I'm work on it pretty good.
How do you work on something like that?
Just got a notebook where I can write everything where I need, like where everything where I thinking about my game, about all stuff, and it's helping. And talk with Brownie, you know, like it's our the guy who work on the mental health. Yeah, and yeah, it's pretty good. I'm done. It's pretty good.
Ryan Huska said that he asked you to work on your first pass. Do you feel like you've made some progress in that area?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, it's 100%. Yeah, I work on it too.
Have they told you how long it'll be up to the rest of the season, or have they given you any details about your opportunity?
How you already said, like work on my first pass and be hard, try to be hard in our zone, try to shoot the puck more, and of course, like you know, be a leadership guy in the Rangers for and bring it to Flames, like try to be, like, you know, we got a great group of veteran guys here, and yeah, I have to learn a lot from these guys too. So that's what my work right now, that's what I'm working on.
How much more comfortable do you feel this time around, having had the experience of playing in a few games with the Big 12 this year?
It's exactly the same feeling like first time and second time. Just enjoy here, you know, like it's NHL. You cannot like walk here and be sad or mad or like thinking about something. No, you're just here and you're happy. That's it.
How does it feel to be up with some of the younger players like Dustin and Matthew?
It's good. You guys ask me the same question probably the third time in the, on this season. Yeah. And every time I said it's so nice when the guys who play with you like almost 3 years and play with them in the NHL, it's pretty good. It's you know, like I feel more confident like when I stay with this guy in the locker room, and yeah, it's probably helped me a little bit, but you know, I'm working on my mental health, and I'll be better this time. Yeah.
Yegor Sharangovich, I believe, became the first Belarusian to score 30 goals in a season. Is that something that, as a fellow Belarusian, makes you proud?
Of course, it's a Belarusian guy. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? First guy who scored 30 goals in the NHL. It makes me happy too. Like, you know, when I read it, I write him a message like to say congrats. Said the same thing today when I saw him in the locker room. And I believe he can he'll break another record for points. He needs probably 3 points. Yeah, I believe he can do it and be the first Belarusian guy who got 60 points season.
Is he a big deal back home?
Probably, yeah. Like everybody watching on him like right now. He's you know, I don't know how to say it in English, but the young guys look at him and they want to be like Sharon right now. You know, like they want to play in the NHL, they want to score 30 goals in the NHL. Yeah, so he's a huge man right now in Belarus, you know, like especially for hockey guys.
There you go. Flames defenseman Ilya Solovyov after his recall at practice Monday at the Scotiabank Saddledome, checking in with him after skating with Braden Pahal. If he makes the trip with the team to California, they kick off a 3-game road trip on Tuesday in San Jose. Just had Eric Francis on to chat about Landon Dupont's exceptional status in the WHL. You can also catch him on Flames broadcast, of course, at sportsnet.ca, and he goes solo every Friday at 5 p.m. for Flames Talk, the Eric Francis Hour. It's a must-listen for every Flames fan. It's brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry has an $83 million positive economic impact in Calgary annually. Visit thehorses.com, 18+. Please play responsibly. Wrapping up the show on a Monday, thank you to Eric Francis, Scott Laughlin, and Kelly Rudy for joining us. Checked into the Flames locker room with Dustin Wolf, Ilya Solovyov, and Ryan Huska. If you missed anything on the program today, do us a favor. Check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Thanks to Cameron and Zom. Their great work as producers today. We'll be back on Tuesday to get you set for the Flames and the San Jose Sharks. Coming up later this afternoon, you've got Vickers and Steinberg for another edition of Flames Talk. And tonight, we'll take you to Toronto for the home opener. The Toronto Blue Jays back at home for the first time this season. They'll kick off a series against the Seattle Mariners. It is a 5:07 first pitch. It'll be right here on Sportsnet 960. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Back Tuesday for another edition of Sportsnet Today. You're on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.